Today on Real Radio.
Your critique of Christianity having come up wanton is not because Christianity is weak, it's because you never got involved. It doesn't work until you use it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from the last two paragraphs of chapter 10. Here's where Paul writes about authority and boasting. But of course, these are to be approached within the context of the fact that there are true teachers and false teachers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called More Than What Meets the Eye.
You think it's tough now? Back then, it was just as bad or worse. Appearance. Listen to this. In the Greek-Roman culture, held as it did physical beauty at its most highest form, and look for any leader. The physical appearance sent a message, and that message was he or she is to us the gift of God. That's what the Caesars were considered. Did you know that? The gift among Romans of the gods. And so we've come actually in our modern age to the same, God's gift to man. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, who do you think you are? God's gift to man? Where did that come from? It came from the Greeks. It came from the Roman world. The Caesars were to be the God's gift to humanity. And listen, they could not have a Caesar or a God that was some sort of a misfit or outcast. Are you with me, everybody? You say, that's so mean. Oh, you know what? We live in such a hypocritical culture, makes me sick. Everybody talks about acceptance and tolerance and don't bully anybody and don't do this and you can't say this because you got to say it this way and then the other thing. And right, don't they all say that? Isn't that big? Oh, you can't say that. You got to say it this way. All of this stuff, and by the way, the people who make this PC shout the most are those who live about 35 miles from here, right? Up in the Hollywood area, in LA area. And yet they themselves, do they practice it? Do you ever see people caught on tape? These actors who are these big proponents of this stuff? Do you see what happens when they're at the bars or the pubs in LA or at the discos or at the beach or whatever? And what do? They're caught on film cussing and racial slurs and ethnic slurs and this and that. And they're the prophets of tolerance. Have you noticed that? It's amazing. Why? Absolute sense of hypocrisy. Why? Because, listen, they can say something, but they've not been changed. It's different for the Christian. We've been bound to Christ by the Holy Spirit's power. He's changed us. And listen, what we're called to do is speak the truth in love. But people don't want to hear the truth, and they don't recognize love when they see it. It's a very, very bizarre time in which we live. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So do we judge things according to appearance? Well, yes, but we need to stop that. And Christians should be, I think, leading the way in that. Faith, listen, for those of you who are skeptics this morning, listen to this. Faith is not what you think. And all around you today, including myself, are people of faith. When I say faith, I mean in the context of trusting Christ. And here's the deal. Faith is not for the weak or the faint of heart. Everybody exercises faith, even the unbeliever. We've talked about this before. What I'm saying is this. With your eyes, think for a moment. With your eyes, you can see certain things. And I forgot my science days. It's been many years since I worked in a lab. Somewhere from like 600 dBs wavelength on the spectrum, on the light spectrum, I'm guessing, somewhere like 600 to about 7-something, the human eye can see things in that spectrum, wavelength spectrum. There's infrared, there's gamma rays, there's x-rays, there's all kinds of different wavelengths, but we, our human eyes, see certain spectrum of revealed light. Do you understand that? Listen, there's all kinds of light. Did you know in the midst of us there's dark light? Dark light. Yeah, it just means this. It's outside the frequency of visibility that your eyes can see. This is a scientific fact. Listen, in fact, during the course of a 24-hour day, you can only see real well about maybe, it depends on the time of the year, but about maybe 8 to 12, oh no, not even that, 6 to 9 hours a day, maybe 6 to 9 hours a day, it depends on the time of the year, really well. Why? Because the rest of that 24-hour day is in darkness. You can't see so well, but your cat can see fine. So can the owl. Are you with me? Why? Because they were engineered to grasp a different wavelength of light. Are you with me now? Watch this. It's a scientific fact. Nobody would debunk that because we know it's true. And God says, well, guess what? There are eyes that I give to people who can see wavelengths beyond those physical parameters. And to see those things outside those parameters, it takes an eye of faith. Not an eye of silliness. These people who talk about Christians have just blind faith. I'm highly offended at that. First of all, it's absolutely ignorant on your part to say such things because people exercise faith every day again, right? I'm going to be getting on an airplane here real quick, real soon, and people are going to strap themselves to a gigantic piece of metal, and it's going to be thrown down the runway, and hopefully at about 180 miles an hour, it's going to take off. If not, I'm going to wind up in Marina Del Rey. Right? You're going to get your car today, and you're going to drive away by faith. You're going to put the key in the car and turn it by faith. You hope it starts. So much so do you practice that form of vision that you won't even think about it, right? You'll just do it. And that's exactly what God says, that the just shall live by faith. It means that we as Christians, we're not freaks, we're not weirdos. We can see wavelength of revelation that is beyond what is physical in this world. It's not a blind leap of faith. We can just see better than the non-believer. When the non-believer says, if I see, I'll believe. You got it all wrong, buddy. If you believe, then you'll see. The fact is that there's more to us than what meets the eye. Christian, by God's incredible power, you're pretty amazing. Not you because of you. Oh, thank you, Pastor. No, not you. You're amazing because of what God has done in your life. Looking at you, some of us, tall, short, thin, wide, male, female, whatever. You know what? The amazing focal point for us is Christ in you and I, which is the hope of glory. Don't judge each other on the outward appearance, the status in life, education, wealth, whatever it might be. No, 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 no. Paul says don't do that. The second thing we see is that we are bound to Christ's service. I love this. You guys, I feel like a broken record. You're gonna say, yep, uh-huh, you sure do. But I have got to beg with you. Listen, you remember a moment ago I just said that we need volunteers to help make stuff for VBS. What did I say a moment ago? What does VBS need? They need over 400 craftsmen, seamstresses, volunteers to make it happen. Guess what? If you can fit that bill, if you can meet that need and you don't, the need is still going to be met. Did you know that? Everybody listen. You say, well, I'm not going to do anything. That's your choice. Guess what? It's going to get done anyway. Well, how do you know? Because listen, anytime someone sits something out, it's not the loss of the body. It's that person's loss. God raises up someone else to do it. And they wind up being blessed for serving Christ. Well, how do you serve Christ? By serving the body of Christ. All that I say to say this. You've heard me for years say, now that you're a Christian, get involved. Yeah, you just want us to do something. I don't want you to do something. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Christianity never works from the sidelines. It will not work. Your critique of Christianity having come up wanton is not because Christianity is weak. It's because you never got involved. It doesn't work until you use it. Look, I'm not picking on anybody. I have nobody's truck in mind. No, I don't. But look, we live in Southern California, and trucks, most people have trucks Because we look at them according to their appearance versus their utilitiness, their usefulness. People have got awesome trucks. They've got trucks that are four-wheel drive, monster trucks. And they're beautiful. They've got all these amazing tires and wheels and struts and braces and all this stuff. I mean, this thing could run into a building and the building would go down. And what do we do with them? We park them in our garage and we polish them and we don't let anybody park near them. And any speck of dirt, we got to remove it. And we can't go down to Lowe's and get a bunch of cement in the bags because we could scratch our truck. You see what I'm saying? That truck was made for work, but we've turned it into a den of iniquity. We've turned it into an idol. Are you with me? It doesn't work. It looks good, but it doesn't work until you use it for what it was created for. And the Christian will not grow ever, ever until it starts to serve Christ. You're not serving VBS. You're not serving this church. Or if you're visiting, you're not serving the church that you'll go home to. You're not serving anybody. You're serving Christ. You lose vision of that, and you're going to get messed up. No, you're serving Christ. You're bound to Christ. You're serving Christ. Why? Because we're no longer of this world. He says in verse 8 that we do all of this for edification. Circle the word edification. It means that we build people up spiritually. The Christian is a spiritual house builder. That is awesome. Edification. Watch this. We get the word, by the way, architecture, or an architect from this word in the Greek language. It means to establish a structure. It means the confirmation of a structure, to edify or to make an edifice of a structure. Paul the Apostle says that in the ministry, as Christians, we are to edify one another. Look, if you and I go out right now to breakfast, our breakfast, our conversation, are you listening? Our day together should be edifying. The worst thing that could happen is for you and I to go out, even if we go to an angel game. And imagine, I say, hey, I got two angel tickets. You want to go? Yeah, wow, this is cool. I'm gonna go to the angel game with the pastor. I don't know him. I go to the church, but he asked me to go to an angel game. We go to an angel game, and so I go, hey, here we are at the angel game. This is awesome. It's awesome. Everything's fine so far. Everything's fine, right? And then I say, hey, man, you want a few beers? And we sit down there, and I'm like this, hey, you bum, you jerk, what a nincompoop, my sister can swing better than you. And I'm just yelling at the ump, I'm just yelling at people, and you're like this. Are you with me? You would feel dirty. Because why? You expected something that you didn't get. Now, before you leave with a totally tainted view of me, I threw myself under the bus. I could have said I went to the angel game with you, and you were the one that you were throwing beers and hot dogs at the umps with cuss words. It could have been you. But my heart would have been broken. Are you with me? Appearance is one thing. The character is completely different. And listen, by you and I serving one another, imagine, sometimes we discount this, the witness that you and I are serving one another with is one of the most amazing, powerful things. Have you ever spent time with someone and you've looked up to them and then you spent some time with them? I hope that after you spent some time with them, that your time with them was edifying for edification. I'm not going to name any names, but years ago, somebody came up to me and they said, hey, there's Pastor so-and-so over there. Do you want to meet him? This is terrible, but I'm admitting it to you and you'll never know who it is. And I said, because it was a certain season in my life as a pastor here at this church, I was getting kind of disillusioned and the Lord really convicted me. This has nothing to do with our notes, I don't think. But maybe this is for you. I would look at other ministers and I need to be more like that because they know what they're doing. They've been doing this forever. I need to be more like that. And the Lord kept telling me, and we're going to touch on it today, is don't compare yourself among yourself. Don't do that, Jack. Be an imitator of me. Now, I heard that like you hear it. I hear it. But my appearance, you see what's in my eyes and my wavelength? My wavelength vision was not outside the 600 to 750 wavelength. It should have been outside that area. It was in that area, and so I was looking at appearance. And then I got kind of hurt a few times just by watching someone. And then, I had him there. Now, listen, we shouldn't have anybody there, up there. But in a sense, we should. In a healthy way, there should be people that inspire us. There should be people that encourage us. Are you with me? There should be people that sharpens our iron. Just be careful who they are. I'd been disillusioned by a few, and then somebody, and this one particular person, they're far away from here, but I'd listen on the Christian radio, and I loved their teaching, and the person said, "Hey, there's so-and-so, you want to meet him?" And I said, "No, I'd rather not." "Why not? He's right there." And I said, "Because I love him. I get so much out of him. I just want to keep it that way." Now, that's cynical. But you know what? I've had people tell me the very similar thing in this foyer. Because you know what? I don't always make it out there, but I do make it out there more often than not. Somebody might say, "Well, you didn't say hi to me." Well, if I go back there, I'm either catching an airplane or I got to go to the bathroom. It's one or the other. Normally, I go up this aisle and out to the foyer, right? And I see people walk by. You guys are awesome. Watch this. There's people. Now, don't take this wrong. There are people who I say hi to every week. And that's okay, but I'd rather those people that come up to me that say hi to me every week, I'd rather just go like this: "God bless you, see you later." Why? What? Because I see people walk through the foyer and they're like this. Are you watching? Are you watching me? They're like this. I love them. I love them. I love you. If that's you, I love you. Here's the deal. Watch. Here's the thing. Now nobody's going to go through the foyer. I will look, and the best to my ability, I will look, because sometimes there's just too many people, honestly, with their face turned away. It's like I have cooties times 10. They see me, and they go, "Look." And those are the ones that I'm going to go like this. "Hey, oh, hey, hey, hi, how are you?" But you know what? I've had people tell me, "Listen, I love it here. I am growing here. I don't want to meet you." I understand exactly where they're coming at. It's a defense mechanism based upon, listen, yes, appearance, but we don't want to be disillusioned or hurt. As a church, listen, no matter who it is, husbands, wives, listen to this. No matter who we might be here today, keep your eyes 6 feet and higher when it comes to what you focus on. Even our husbands and our wives, even the sheep, even the pastor, remember this: we are people saved by the grace of God. There's one perfect, it's Jesus. He's our target. We'll see this in a moment. He's the one we're focused on, but the truth of the matter is, we keep our eyes on Jesus and we can handle anything. The moment we start looking at people, "Oh, you know, you're my feelings." Listen, you're on your way down. Why? Because you're looking at man to meet your need. You're looking, and Paul's going to address this. Don't do that. Serve Jesus with your focus on Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." That's you. Listen to you. Look at you. More than what meets the eye, you are a royal priesthood, God says, a special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, notice the wavelength, and into his marvelous lights. What an amazing God. It says there that we are to be edifiers and not destroyers. The word here, circle it, those of you who've read some recent books by lunatics lately, seriously, you can buy them in Christian bookstores. The word destruction here is a perpetual, eternal, forever destruction. It's a state of perpetual destruction eternally. Why do I say that? Because there's so-called biblical scholars now saying, "Oh, they've discovered some new truth and there is no hell, there's only annihilation. Those who go to heaven go to heaven, and those who don't, they are annihilated. They have no recollection of anything. They no longer exist. There is no hell." Jesus says there's a hell. This verse right here, this word right here says it's perpetual. It is spiritual forever destruction. The Bible is given to you so you don't go there, okay? God does not want you there. Very important. You ought to agree with him, on that and trust his son. Jesus is the ticket. Listen, Jesus is not only the ticket out of this world, he's the ticket into the kingdom of God in heaven forever. But he says right here, look here, as he mentions in verse 8, regarding authority. And I don't want to belabor this. Authority, you got to circle the word, because authority, as I mentioned the other night, on Wednesday night, authority is established by God. We need to be careful about authority. Church, I'm going to be a little bit sarcastic for impact's sake. Are you with me? Authority. There are two kinds of authority. When you strip it all down, there's two kinds. Which one's true? Just give me the true one. They both are, sad to say. They both are true. Here it is. There's the authority that is established by God, and that is true. And it's biblical. And then there's an authority established by man, and it is true. And it's talked about in the Bible. Both are biblical. One is heavenly, and one's demonic. And when you and I live with both, God is the author of authority. Man pirates what God does and messes it up. Is that not true? God invents marriage, man messes it up. God invents sex, man messes it up. God invents currencies, men mess it up. God invents government, man messes it up. Go down the list. Whatever God does, man messes it up. We're so good at it. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Center. No, I want God to do it for me. I mean, God, you tell me what to do and I'll obey. Oh, my. And then listen. Authority, verse 11. We are bound to the reality. The authority leads us to a place of reality. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters. Remember, Paul's letters are strong. Obviously, read them. It's so cute, isn't it? Peter, the apostle Peter wrote in Peter's epistle that Paul the apostle, the things that he wrote were sometimes very hard to understand. Doesn't that make you feel better? Did you know Peter said that about Paul? That's awesome. That the great apostle Peter says, yeah, Paul's amazing, but some of the things he writes about, they're hard to understand. That's in the Bible. I think it's so cool. Because don't you read stuff and you go, I don't get that. You know, and by the way, when that happens in your life, you know what that means? That's a God moment. You ought to take a picture. That's a God moment. It means this. The reason why you don't get it is because God is saying, psst, hey, Jack, let's get alone. Let's talk about it. That's a revelation time. If you read something in the Bible, you don't get it, it means you're supposed to pull over at a rest stop and dive into it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called More Than What Meets the Eye. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, specifically verses 7 through 18. More Than What Meets the Eye is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up a mini-series by Pastor Jack taken from this part of Paul's letter called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. And we're still offering it on DVD because, quite frankly, we got a whole lot of response on it from Real Radio listeners. It's a 4-disc set that goes by that same name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our offer? Here it is. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it to you. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and ask for it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our mailing address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be easily found anytime at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.